Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Expecting some pain after Diaz blew that save, but no, the Mets come back after blowing the lead and win a game. And look, this is now 3-4 for the Mets against the Dodgers this year. I feel like the Mets have closed the gap from where they were a year ago. Remember, Soto hasn't even really taken off yet. He hasn't made his presence felt as far as it goes either this season or head-to-head against the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. The Mets pitching is only getting healthier, getting deeper. I think they're a better ball club than they were a year ago. I know the Dodgers are big and bad, and everybody says they're unbeatable. Well, I've seen four games between the Mets and Dodgers. Mets have won three of those. I believe the Mets have closed the gap with the Dodgers.
Well, they better, because last year in the NLCS, they lost 9-0, 8-0, 10-2, and 10-5. So congratulations on slicing into that gap, big boy. Congrats. Honestly, that's a great win. That was a great, you know, the moral or the, I guess, the morale, I should say, yeah, of the team when your closer blows one away like that. That's an easy way to slink into a loss on the road. So I'm not trying to minimize the win, but let's tap the brakes here, dude. I mean, they got absolutely stoned in the championship series against the Dodgers. Like, it wasn't even close.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you think was the biggest reason for the disparity between the two teams if you go back to the NLCS a year ago?
Well, based on the score, you know, the Met pitching just couldn't hold down the
Bingo.
Dodger bats.
I
now,
agree.
The Met offense didn't do much, but the Met pitching got hit hard.
I agree with that. I would say two things, but I was getting to the pitching part of it. I feel like the Mets pitching is in as good a spot as it's ever been. It's now year two with Stearns. Obviously, we know what Hefner's done. We heard about the pitching lab. Dude, Paul Blackburn coming off the IL, he throws five scoreless. I mean, against the Dodgers, you got David Peterson mowing the Dodgers down and getting Ohtani last week. Everybody that the Mets have thrown out there this year has been, at the very least, solid, if not flat out good or dominant. And they ain't even gotten going yet. No Sean Manaea on the year. Frankie Montas coming back. Now, I don't love Montas, but again, with the Mets, I mean, I don't love Griffin Canning and his 5 ERA either. So the Mets pitching is not only good, but it's deep. I feel very comfortable about that. We're not even talking about any acquisitions that they can make at the trade deadline just yet. I feel like their pitching goes up against the Dodgers better this year. And when you add Juan Soto to the mix, specifically in the postseason, Sotober. I think that the gap, I think you can make a good argument. Now, I don't want to go nuts about overreacting to regular season.
No, you're not going nuts. The first thing you said is they closed the gap, they did this. Sal doesn't want to go nuts. It's still early.
They do have the best record in the National League. They have taken 3-4 from the Dodgers. They did sweep the Phillies. They took 2 out of 3 from the Cubs. All these are the best teams in the National
League. They played well against good teams. All right, so I'm going to admit, listen, clearly the Mets are good. There's no doubt about it. The Mets are a good baseball team, right? They're well run. I think they're well managed. I think they're a good team with potential to get better, because you know Soto's going to do some damage. And Mauricio is coming up.
I like it.
You should. I mean, I'm actually really excited to see him play baseball. I have to get past something here, though. And but it's actually on the Mets to make me get past it. I look at the lineup, and once you get past a certain spot, and that certain spot is just too early in the order for me, I look at the last four or five slots, I'm like, I know they've got the best record in the NL. It just doesn't strike me as that kind of a powerhouse. They don't look that way.
But doesn't that make you more encouraged knowing that or feeling that they're going to get better? Because if guys aren't clicking, you saw Alvarez last night with a big hit, maybe that gets him going a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's more encouraging. Like, you're right. Sometimes you can watch a team and be like, man, how the hell do they have the best record in the National League? But they do. And it's encouraging because Soto hasn't gotten going yet. Manaea hasn't taken the mound yet. Montas hasn't been there yet. I think Alvarez hasn't gotten going. Nimmo's starting to look a little bit better in the two old. Vientos has been a zero so far. I know he's going to be out, you know,
which
is why they bring up Mauricio a little bit here. But the Mets, it's not even like the Mets are clicking on all cylinders, whereas last year, I feel like, and we could tie the Knicks into the conversation to use as a reference point, where the Knicks maxed out last year. Even at their best, I never felt like they could beat the Celtics or win a championship. With the Mets last year, they maxed out. I didn't feel like they were good enough to beat the Dodgers. You just saw it. Not only did they run out of steam, but they ran into a team who was better than they were. I don't think that's the case. I'm not saying the Dodgers don't have more talent. I mean, the Dodgers are oozing talent out the wazoo. They got guys that are hurt that you could field an all-star team with. So we know that. But I don't look at the Dodgers as unbeatable, and I think the Mets have another level to go still. And right now, they have the best record in the National League.
I think the Dodgers have another level to go up as well. Fair. Dodgers are a little bit banged up. I want to see what happens with the Phillies. Again, this is all under the understanding that the Mets have themselves a good baseball team. And listen, I'm happy you brought the Knicks up. One of the biggest differences here, like we sat, and you know, obviously as the playoffs started, it was Knicks every single day. Whereas during the season, we just kind of cherry-picked big stories. Oh, they're playing the Celtics, playing the Thunder, playing the Cavs, whatever. And most of us, based on the 0-10 record, formulated this belief that the Knicks were not good enough to win the championship. Not only last year, but also this year, right? Now, I was more bullish on that point than you. You were actually more bullish on them to maybe break through.
I was giving them a chance.
You were giving them a chance more than me. A lot of us just kind of looked at that and said, nah, bad matchup. Knicks don't have this. The other teams do. Baseball is so different. I mean, baseball is just, and listen, as a Mets fan, I think maybe one of the greatest examples, you got it, it's a million years ago, but the 1988 Mets ran circles around the 88 Dodgers. That Dodgers team was like a JV team in terms of talent compared to the Mets, and what happened? The JV team won because the Mets choked one away, because that's baseball. And I just say that because there's going to be flows in this season, despite how the Mets look now. There's going to be points when the pitching gets rocked, where Pete's 1-for-20, where Lindor, who's been terrific the last couple of games, certainly in June, and most of the season he's been very good, he cools off. Once that happens, what's left? And I'm not saying that there's nothing. I just don't think, right, without a trade, without one big bat trade, I don't think that there's enough for them to coast the rest of the year. They're not that kind of team.
See, I felt last year to what you were saying, like, okay, well, any team in baseball is different on any best of five or best of seven series. Maybe the baseball, even the team that's not the best team could go out there and win a series. That's what needed to happen last year, in my opinion, with the Mets. I don't feel that this year. I feel like they are on equal footing with the almighty, unbeatable LA Dodgers. Doesn't mean that they're guaranteed to beat them. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that I'm putting that much stock in 3 out of 4. Just the feel.
That's good.
Like, look at the National League, right? We looked at, coming into the season, even coming into the season, and I admit, even after Juan Soto, even after the Mets got Soto coming into the season, our conversation was, okay, well, just make the playoffs.
Or maybe the third best team of the division.
Bingo.
To that point.
Yeah,
I thought that.
That's exactly right. Same thing, all right, Phillies, man, they're tough. All the Braves, they're going to be back tough. I don't feel that way anymore.
Nor should you with that. I would agree with that.
I look at the Phillies as less than the Mets. I look at the Braves as less than them, way less. The Braves are in fourth place. I mean, the Braves are dead. The Braves are dead as a pancake.
Stop. No, they're not dead.
Oh, the Braves
they're
are dead.
They're not dead. You know they're not dead.
The Braves
I think
are
you
dead.
Know they're not dead.
27-31.
They're
the
not dead.
Back.
What were the Mets at this point last year? They were 11 games under.
The Braves are dead. And at the very least, I don't look at those two teams as being better. I think the Mets are better at the very least on equal footing. But same thing, Cubs. Okay, yeah, they're good. Yeah, they're sure they could beat the Mets, but I don't look at them as better. I don't think that there is a clear roadblock the way that I did last year with, hey, the Dodgers, the Braves, the Phillies, even though the Mets beat the Phillies, you still get the point.
Yep.
And, or going into the season, oh, God, Dodgers, Braves, Phillies, I don't see that anymore.
Okay, so because you brought the Knicks up and I brought them up, I'm going to weave the Knicks into these and ask you a question about the Mets. Because you asked me yesterday, is this a success or a failure for the Knicks? What was my answer?
You said failure.
It was, to me, it was an absolute failure. Some disagree. That's fine. It's an interesting conversation. The way you feel about the Mets right now, if there's no, you know, God forbid, season-altering injuries, and I want health for all the, for certainly for our teams, do you believe it's a failure if they don't get to the World Series? You almost have to feel that way now. Otherwise, I don't know if you believe what you're saying.
I'm going to pull a BT right
now. No, you can't pull a BT with this.
I need to see.
You can't.
I need to see the optics of it. No, I think if the Mets fall short, I think the Mets are at a spot that anything less than a World Series win is going to be a disappointment.
World Series win?
Win. Win.
I respect the answer.
I'm swinging with the big boys.
You know what? I respect the answer. That's not my answer for the Mets. I don't think they're quite that yet. But I respect the answer.
Remember last year I was saying, like, I'm not going to accept this.
Yes.
I'm not accepting.
I remember that.
Oh, okay, just make the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
No, like, to me it wasn't good enough for all wait till next year. So I have high expectations for a team that, you know, has beaten me down as a fan for how many years here. They're back up on the upswing here. I would be. Now, again, it's a crapshoot in the postseason. We get it. So you could look at it and say, hey, it was still a fun year. They fell short of the ultimate goal. But I don't think I could sit here and say, well, just get to the NLCS. They did that a year ago. They're better this year. They have Juan Soto. So, and maybe it's, okay, we'll get to the World Series and lose. But then I start thinking, yeah, well, I've seen that before, too. I can't accept getting to the World Series and losing. I think the Mets have as good a chance. I don't know what the odds say, but I think the Mets are as good a team. Forget about it, as good of a chance. I think the Mets are as good of a team as anybody in Major League Baseball, and there's no way at this point that I would accept anything less than winning a World Series.
We talked about the strengths. What's, like, we talked about the Knicks as well, defense, whatever. What's the Mets' ultimate weakness? What, there's got to be one thing where you look at, you're like, as good as I'm feeling now, and as much as I believe what I'm saying, there is an area of concern that eventually, you know, could come to roost. What would it be?
I think there are two things.
I got mine.
Okay.
I don't like the bottom of the lineup. I just don't think it's good enough.
Okay, so
got to make a trade.
I'll give you the one thing I would think is that they need either another bat or they, like, let's say Mauricio comes up and he just rakes. And now you keep him even when Bientos comes back healthy or whatever, or Beatty, you get him playing time at third, you have Mauricio DH. The Mets are going to need another bat at some point. I think that's a weakness, their lineup not being at least pre-Soto. Now, if Soto starts going along with Lindor and Alonso, that should be enough to they'll get some contributions from the bottom of the order. That's my lesser of the two concerns. My main concern, and this is kind of unknown here, is will the pitching hold up for the duration?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I think they're doing it with smoke and mirrors,
yeah,
because I believe that what they're doing is sustainable and it is real. David Stearns has proven, Hefner has proven that they can find guys and maximize their ability and have success. Whether it's five innings, six innings, doesn't matter. I believe in that. What I'm unsure of is Clay Holmes going to be this in October when he's already at his max innings? Is, you know, whoever, pick a guy, is Griffin Canning going to be?
McGill.
Yeah, Tyler McGill. And again, if Manaea and Montas come back, that should offset it a little bit.
Yep.
Is the overtaxing of the bullpen from opening day till June 2nd, whatever it is now, is that going to eventually take its toll on the bullpen and not be fresh in the postseason? Because it is about the postseason. That's my number one concern. Will the pitching hold up in October against the best lineups in baseball?
So it's less about talent for you. And for me, again, based on the start of the conversation, you know, not are they good, but are they basically the best team? For me, it is talent. I just don't like past Pete. I mean, every night, whether I'm watching the game or the box scores, I see 230, 240, homers. Like, they need another stick. I'm less concerned about the pitching and more concerned about the offense myself. And by the way, Diaz is no sure thing at the end.
I know, but who is?
Well,
you know, I mean, he's been perfect up until last night. He's actually looked, you know, not that he's ever going to be 2022 again, but he's looked as good as he did pre-WBC injury prior to last night, which was predictable. You know it. Oh, 13 for 13 going in those West Coast games. You stay up late, you're going to get tortured. Generally, you blow that game, and then the Mets, it would have been easy to lose that game, so that's why I give him credit to win. I'm not worried about Diaz. I mean, stuff happens, but give me the better closers in baseball that you feel confident. Obviously, we'll get to the Yankees and Luke Weaver losing one of the best closers in baseball,
yep,
and are going to replace him with a former best closer in baseball. But we'll get to the Yankees part of things a little bit later on. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan, starting with the Mets off of their big win last night. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you, bet at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Charles is in Deal. What's up, Charles?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
All right. So, BT, I disagree with you. Not disagree, but I just took a little bit of question to what you said. You said that what's going to happen when Alonso struggles, when he cools off. I mean, the Mets just played probably their toughest stretch of games that they're going to play in a while.
They just played the Rockies.
Dude, they just had the Red Sox who played them in Fenway when they were in their worst
point.
They played the Yankees, they played the Cubs, they played the D-backs, they played the Dodgers. Yeah. What are you talking about? And they just had Alonso just came off a 3-week stretch where he hit 125 with a 460.
I hear you on that.
Just had a 4-for-40 stretch. So they were just struggling, and they held it afloat. And now they're getting going again. Lindor's hitting the ball again. He's hitting for more power. Maybe that Rockies series woke him up a little bit. Soto looked better in that series. That's what those series are for. You got to take advantage of those teams. So they just played a tougher stretch of team outside of the Rockies and White Sox. This is part of the easier part of the schedule. Mm-hmm. And they still have the Dodgers mixed into there. So the offense, the two guys that were carrying them were struggling. And now they're heating up again. And they held it afloat. So that's not what I would be concerned about. And as for the pitching, the fact that, you know, this is something we always talk about with teams, right? It's what is their identity? This is what the Mets' identity is. They find guys that they believe they can develop and make better, and they do it. And last year they did it, and this is not just the Mets thing. David Stearns has done it his entirety of his career, dating back to the Brewers. He finds guys that nobody believes in, or at least that people don't believe in anymore, and he finds a way to get the best out of them. So I don't see the pitching falling off, and they just got through a stretch of where Alonso and Lindor were struggling. So I think this team's very good, and they're going to be fine and compete with the best of them.
I'll tell you what, it's a good call. You laid out well, Charles. And one thing I'm going to give you credit for, I think it's a sound way to look at any team. You're never as good as you look on your best day, never as bad as you look on your worst, obviously. But to me, a pretty good indicator of the upside of a baseball team is when your top two hitters, you can even say your best hitter, but in the Mets' case, their top two hitters have gone through a little funk. You know, what happens to the actual product overall? Do you lose 7 of 8, or do you still find a way to grow? Now, it helps that you played the Rockies, but you're right. As you pointed out, the schedule before that was, pretty arduous. And I think that is a sign that they're connected. And I think that that's a very good thing. I wish the Mets did one thing great. I don't think that there's anything that they do great. I definitely don't love their defense. I don't love their lineup. And I don't fully trust not the talent or the usage in the lab, so to speak, but the ability for these guys to go from, April 1 through the end of October with all these innings and all these things and all these challenges. I just don't know that they do one thing great. And every champion does. That's a pushback there. Like, can you guide me there?
Understood. What do you think has the best chance to be great of this Mets team as currently constructed?
The first part of their batting order.
Bingo.
That's the first part.
Lindor.
Yeah.
He has been great. Alonso, for the most part this year, has been great and certainly better than... I mean, the guy's hitting almost three. What is he hitting?
I think he's down to about 285. Now it's sunk. I looked today. I think he's 285, 284.
Alonso, 284.
I mean, that's sinking fast, though. Dude, he's hitting 370 for a while.
Well,
I know, but who knows if he's going to stay at 284. He might want the 250 soon.
Lindor's been great.
He's been very good.
Alonso was great in April, not so much in May. Maybe he levels out a little bit, but still, prolific power, and we know Soto's got... He's going to be great. It's just a matter of when he's going to be great, and that would be... See, that's why where last year they didn't have that, BT. Now they have at least the potential with Soto being in the mix to be a great top three of an order. And then the rest of the guys, like somebody's going to contribute. Obviously, can't just be three guys. The pitching is, I like it. There's no ace there, but it's solid. They've got guys with good potential. Manaea, Senga could be aces on any given night. But I like the well-rounded nature of their staff. Not just the starting rotation, but the area to be great is Lindor, Soto, Alonso. And once those guys start clicking together, then I think they could go to another level.
What was the score last night? Was it 4-3? 4-3, right?
Yeah,
just since we're on the topic of scores. 9-zip, 8-zip, 10-2, 10-5. You got a lot of gap to make up from the NLCS. That's the Dodgers when they're kind of healthy.
Before we throw one more, before we go to break, can I throw one score at you? You can take a guess what it is.
18-2. That's all right, man.
Yankees are, I think the Yankees, what are they now? If you go back over the last, how many games against the Dodgers have they played? If you go back to the World Series, they played 5 last year, and then they played 3 this year. It doesn't seem like the Yankees have won. The Yankees are 2-6 in the last 8 versus the Dodgers. Mets are 5-5 in the last 10.
Well, lucky for us, we don't have to see them to get to the World Series. If we see them, it's because we made it again.
You may want them. Because you don't want the Mets.
Yeah, okay.
There is some Yankee news. We mentioned Luke Weaver before that he's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks, roughly. Boone, our boy Booney, is on with John Boy right now talking Yanks. I'm seeing all this stuff on social media as far as the news goes. Mm-hmm. Boone confirms Devin Williams is going to do most of the closing while Luke Weaver is out. He added that Fernando Cruz is returning tonight. So that's good for the Yanks getting him back. And Devin Williams has been great. So
yeah, well, he had the one blip, but he's been really, really good for a while now.
Jason Dominguez, Boone said this, talking Yanks. Jason Dominguez is not in the lineup tonight due to thumb swelling. There's uncertainty around the injury. Trainer's going to check on it. That's coming up around 11. That's when they're going to check on it. And then the final piece of news here that I'm seeing from talking Yanks and Boone, Jazz Chisholm will be in the lineup tonight for the first time since April 29th.
Okay, so the Devin Williams stuff, luckily, is in a much better spot. I mean, if his ERA, now I know it's still fairly high based on how he started, but if he was still getting tattooed, there's no way you throw him to the Wolves and say, oh yeah, by the way, the closer again, figure it out. The fact that he stabilized the season, looks more comfortable, the velocity's picked up a little bit, I think Devin Williams will be fine. Maybe not the all-world closer with a sub-2 whatever and a sub-1 whip, but I think Devin Williams will be fine. Luke Weaver will be. And in a weird way, you get to October, the 4 to 6 weeks that Luke Weaver's arm will be able to rest now might not be the worst thing in the world because the Yankees should still win the division going away. I'm not worried about the Dominguez thumb issue. He spoke about it the other night. He said he didn't even think he had to get an MRI. He said, I'm fine. Apparently, the Yankees think otherwise. Maybe just a precautionary thing. When was the last time you heard about Dominguez messing up in left field? Spring training? He solved that pretty well. He looks more the part, so hopefully he's not out a while. And listen, there's a lot of things about Jazz that bother me. Too much swing and miss. Just a little too much hero ball. Like, he's just swinging for the fences like he's Aaron Judge. But this presents another option. And by the way, he is probably the most dynamic, you know, athlete just in terms of, like, burst on the team. You know, when he came here last year, he had, 11 home runs, 18 or 20 steals in 45 games. And his OPS was almost 850. Now, again, he's not a perfect player. He worries me. Guys on, less than two out. You're going to put the bat on the ball, get the run in. I don't know. I don't know. But I do know that DJ LeMahieu looks a little more viable than I thought. I thought he was cooked. And, you know, you maybe punt him to second, put Jazz back at third.
Yeah.
You got some options here.
Also, I was going to ask you, you would play him in third?
I would put him in third, yeah. I would.
Just weird. They keep, you know, juggling him around. They really need an actual third base.
That would be good.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I have an idea that maybe we could discuss a little bit later on. Possible trade.
Yeah. I don't want your boy.
Possible trade. I'm throwing some names out there.
I'm shooting it down if it's Vientos.
The Mets have a gluttony of third base.
I'll take Beatty off your hands. Mauricio. I like him. Get his left-handed swing in the Bronx. I'll take Beatty.
Yeah, and then you get a right-handed back coming back with Stanton. All right, we'll throw some trade ideas out there with little Mets and
take
Yankees.
Em.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Back to the Mets. Mark is calling from Middletown, New Jersey. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. Hey, Sal, one quick question before my Mets point. What is the good night man hug from DT after he was, feeling no pain after the Knick game?
It was a normal goodnight, man. I mean, I think we gave a couple of hugs. We were still despondent kind of because we were trying to fathom that the Knicks season was, in fact, over. But, you know, it was nothing crazy. And he wasn't that bad. I'm like, no, you weren't. Yeah, you weren't.
No, I didn't say that. I just curious.
I'll say this. So, because he came over for the previous weekend, too, to watch the game.
Yeah.
That was more of an extended goodbye. I walked into his car. We were talking shop in the street. Yeah. Like, that was about 15 minutes. This was, I don't have much left, man. The season's over. I'll see you Monday. In and out.
So, Dal, my biggest concern is a catcher. I think Torrens is a phenomenal backup, but I have no confidence in Alvarez's, you know, when he gets up there, he's trying to hit an 8-run homer every time. He's not disciplined enough at the plate. I'd like to see a better starter with Torrens as a backup.
Well, Alvarez had two hits last night, Mark, and I think it's a fair question, and thank you for your call, or a fair comment. Alvarez had two hits last night, a big one in extra innings, going the other way with a big double, BT. I still believe in Alvarez. I mean, the guy had 25 homers 2 years ago. He's been banged up too often, never any consistency, can't get in any kind of rhythm. Torrens has outplayed him. I'm fine with the catching situation. Look around the big leagues. I mean, Cal Raleigh, those guys aren't growing on trees here.
Yeah.
Good catchers are. Look at Austin Wells, as a matter of fact. I thought Wells was going to be a real impact bat for the Yankees.
205, 210.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. So, and he's supposed to be one of the better offensive catchers in the game. So I think the Mets are fine. I love Torrens as a catcher, just a solid player, good defensive catcher. Mets have done a good job throwing out runners. I'm not overly concerned about Alvarez. The good news is that he's got the potential to be an impact bat, and you're getting by with the tandem as is.
Yeah, listen, I think it's very easy to fixate on a hole, a position, but I think catcher is just less meaningful. You mentioned Cal Raleigh, but I'm looking at all the catchers right now, and Raleigh's OPS is incredible. Will Smith is over 900. Every other catcher is under 700, and there's a bunch that are under 8. And then there's a bunch that are under 7. So, like, it's
give me the next group. Like,
the next group, Ohapi from the Angels. You got Hunter Goodman from Colorado.
I mean, come on. Who are these guys?
Kirk from Toronto. Austin Wells at 727. Langoliers from the A's. He's got a bunch of bombs as well. You know, Ryan Jeffers. And these guys are hitting.
What's Wells' OPS?
OPS about 730. Like, if I look at their actual, like, I'm seeing 212 average, 235, 248, 246, 223. Ray Amuto is sitting 223. The point is this. I love Torrens. I think he's
right. Yeah.
And, you know,
you know where the Mets got him from, right?
Seattle.
No,
they got him from, well, oh, that's right, the Yankees. I'm sorry. They bought him for the Yankees for $1 million, but he had
a
big year.
Special.
Yeah, but he had a big year with Seattle. Yeah. That's what I meant. He had, like, 1 year where he had, like, 14 or 15 bombs. And I remember seeing him play. Maybe it was in Miami. And I hadn't seen him play a ton, to be totally honest with you, like a ton. And he made a couple of really, I thought, very smooth, very polished swipe tags at the plate. One was from Soto up the line, up the first base line. I think it was down to Miami early, and it just came across the plate. It was just a very nice execution. And I'm like, I like this guy. And then I saw his at-bats. I'm like, okay. Listen, you don't need Alvarez to be the superstar that maybe we thought that he could be. You'd love that. But you have two catchers, both of whom have different skill sets. I think you find a way to complement them. That's fine.
Yeah, I like the Mets catching system.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Situation. Bob is calling from Key West. What's up, Bob?
What's up, fellas? Happy Tuesday.
Bobby, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
Pretty good. Listen, I agree with the take completely. They're going to need another arm in that bullpen. Hopefully it's a power lefty. You know, the loss of Minta was tough on his team. And, you know, you're pitching four innings every night out of that pen. They're going to be dead soon if they're not injured or whatever. But, I mean, if you look at it, and, you know, the teams you're going to face in the playoffs, hopefully, you know, a lot of them are, you know, Philly's got Schwarber and Harper, and the Dodgers lineup is deep lefty. I think that's a spot you can definitely trade for. As for the hitting, I agree again. I don't know what position you can upgrade. Maybe center field. Maybe, you know, Tyrone Taylor in a perfect world is a defensive replacement. He's great out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I do agree they need another stick. I'm curious as to who you guys would target on both ends of, you know, the relief pitcher and the bat.
Well, I mean, the bat, you know, the thing about the bat, thanks for the call, you've got to ride this out a little bit more. Like, I don't know who the hell's going to sell. I know that the White Sox will sell. I know that the Rockies would sell McMahon. You know, but everybody else is at least on the periphery of being in it. I mean, even, I mean, maybe not the Pirates. They're 15 and a half out. But the Reds are 9 out. The Brewers are 5 out. The Cardinals are 4 out. The Marlins, I don't know if they're ready to dump yet. Braves aren't going to dump at all. Nationals still technically in it. So it's made it better for all the teams and the fan bases because there's more involvement because you've got a chance to kind of steal the wild card. But it makes it much more complicated to read the trade market because teams just don't trade as early as they used to.
Also, I felt like the names that were out there or have been out there so far have mostly been, the big names have been pitching, not the sticks, which is, again, frustrating. The Mets were in this spot in 2022 where they desperately needed a bat. They come away with
Darren. It worked out well for you. Got two bats.
Darren Ruff and Daniel Vogelback. I would agree that they're going to need a big bat. I said this last week. In the outfield, I want a big bat. But if Nimmo could start hitting in the two hole, that helps, you know, alleviate some of that need. I still would prefer a bigger bat in center field. That would be the ideal fit. You know, Siri's been hurt. I'm sure he'll come back at some point, but he's still not that good anyway. Meaning, you know, he could hit with some pop, but he's not a good average hitter.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrone Taylor is a solid player, but more of a fourth outfielder or super utility guy for the outfield. You know, special guy that you want coming off the bench late in games, gives you that hustle, that grit. Like him, but they could upgrade the bat there. As far as the bullpen goes, Brooks Raley is working his way back. He's rehabbing from Tommy John surgery. I just read something on him that he's starting to come back here. It was in the Post yesterday. So he's throwing, I think, live BP now, which is good news there. Raley could be, he was a good arm with the Mets before he went down. So that's an arm that could be potentially replacing A.J. Minter. Stinks to lose that type of arm in Minter. But I think the Mets will be okay. Look, it's early still. The deadline's not until, you know, 2 months away, July 31st. They'll be able to go out there and supplement this team or complement this team with whatever's available. I'm not worried about that.
No, me neither. And you got the owner who's going to do it. And yeah, you got a GM who likes to make trades and will explore this and you know, tap into everything that he can. I also think it's really good for the Mets now because, you know, they're not dealing from a position of weakness. They're not desperate.
Right.
The worst time to make a trade is when every team knows that you got to do it so I can hold you under the fire. Mets don't have to do anything right now. Oh, I do have another name for you real fast.
Yeah.
It came up the other day on the show. Not saying it's perfect. I think he's fitting great in the lower third of the order, maybe seventh or so. Cedric Mullins.
Yeah.
Cedric Mullins could get it. He can run. He's got a little pop. He's played in some big games. I mean,
but what is he doing this year? We did talk about him, I think.
He came up
week.
A little bit. I mean, the Orioles stink. You know, batting average is terrible. He's not happy. He's not playing every single I think
homers.
He's playing mostly every day. Yeah, he's got 10 home runs, 31 ribbies, OPS almost 800. You know, here's a guy who's had some 30 steal seasons, some, you know, 15, 20, 30 home run seasons.
He's still playing center for them?
Did they move him to the left? I thought he was still in center field. I could check that after. Either way,
they would need a center fielder. That's the point.
Like, That's true.
He would be an upgrade over Siri or Tyrone Taylor.
No question about it.
And
no question.
You're just looking to upgrade any which way you can of this ball. Look at the Mets, though. There's minimal spots where you're not getting a first baseman. They have a gluttony of third base / second baseman.
But do you have enough answers? I know you have a lot of names. Maybe Mauricio changes that for sure.
He could be a game changer here.
It could be. I think the positions will be left field. I don't even think you'll make a move for catcher. I don't think you need to. Maybe third base and maybe DH. That's probably it.
As much as I believe this team is about Juan Soto and will only go as far as Soto will take them, clearly, it has been proven within the last year or so, they will go as far as Lindor will take them. And he's taken them far. He's been clutch for them. This year, he's finally going to be an all-star. He finally started the year off right. It's all come together for Francisco Lindor.
Yeah, he's been great. You know, the thing, though, is as great as he was last year, too, in the postseason, clutch moments, like, the Mets don't get as far as they got without Vientos' heroics as well. So the question is, who's going to be the secondary figure to join the party? Well, Lindor very well might be the secondary figure if Juan Soto ascends to the spot that I think many of us think that he should still get to this year as the primary guy.
But remember, too, last year they didn't have Pete being what he's been so far this year until the postseason.
Until the postseason, yep.
Where he obviously had big moments, none bigger than the Milwaukee home run. But now you've got Lindor and Pete. You're waiting for Soto to kick in. Vientos has been a massive disappointment. Like, I know he's hurt now. There's no other way to put it. He has been a massive. You know what Vientos has been?
Mm.
He's been what everybody expected him to be prior to last season. I hate to say that because I do like Vientos, and I still believe in him because of his attitude. He's got the confidence, which I love. He's been proven to be clutch. I don't think there's a spot where the league figured him out, but clearly he's not himself. Starting with the defense that he played right out of the gate.
Yep.
and it's been a downward spiral for him that it just hasn't been able to get out of. But this is what the Mets thought that they had in Vientos, a guy who didn't really have a position and was an inconsistent offensive player. Last year was maybe the aberration.
I mean, it kind of looks that way now, but I'm stopping short of saying that. Because what I always reacted to with Vientos, especially as the season went on, well, even when he kept getting sent down, would go to Syracuse, would mash, and then would, they even called him up, I think, one day the roster's expanded, yeah, and he hits a home run, they send him right down the next day.
Yeah.
So to me, like, that showed an ability to process what's important and filter aside the nonsense and really just control what you can control. And I was very impressed by that. And, you know, as I formulated my opinion, my early opinion on him as a hitter last year, I was leaned on the fact, like, when the spotlight gets brighter and the pitchers get better and the games become more meaningful and the pressure gets ramped up, his performance skyrocketed. So I cannot label that. I'm not saying you definitively are.
No, I'm not.
But I know. But I'm like, I'm not saying that's the outlier, that's an anomaly. I can't say that yet. But I will say from the get-go this year, from jump, there was an alarming lack of engagement. He wasn't locked in. His base running was questioned by both Lindor and the manager. His fielding was a wreck. There's no doubt he's taking a big step back.
Right now, who do you have more confidence in, Beatty or Vientos being the third
base?
Right
now, Beatty.
And I don't even think it's close.
Well, he picks it better. Start with that.
He looks like a Gold Glove defensive third base. Yeah, start with
better
that
fielder.
Is right, but you just know you don't have to worry about him. Put him at third base, all right, and then the bat has the potential, whereas Vientos is just not hitting. Maybe Vientos could be the DH moving forward. Hey, maybe Ronnie Mauricio, who's been on fire since being called up. I was just talking with somebody about this yesterday. I was like, what's the deal with Mauricio? Are we close to having him? No. Now, Vientos got hurt.
Yeah.
And now, okay, well, it creates a need. But I'm intrigued to see what Mauricio could bring because he might be able to be that extra bat that the Mets are looking for. If there's not one clear one out there on the trade market, maybe Mauricio can be that type of impact. That I don't know. I'm not predicting that. But, I mean, what we've seen of Mauricio before he got hurt was encouraging. And what we've seen in the minors has been encouraging.
I think it's always interesting when you inject a young, explosive player into a baseball season. Because, you know, baseball, it's such a grind and it's so monotonous. And don't get us wrong. We love it. We love the day-to-day grind. But, you know, it can get stale inside the clubhouse. And I think the Mets have a good group. I think Lindor keeps it loose. Pete's goofy, but in a good way, whatever. You know, Soto eventually is going to find his way in. I just think from a hitting perspective, I just think that, like, a young player like Mauricio, he comes in with that swag. You know, as long as he respects the veterans, which I'm sure he will, and they let him be him, that injects something that you really can't quantify into a season. This could be fun.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Ray is in Freehold, New Jersey. What's up, Ray?
Hey, question. Hey, how you doing, BT? I got a question for Sal. BT.
Yes.
A long-time Yankee fan. Was Mets game good? Would it be okay for a Yankee fan to root for the Mets? Because then we would be able to kind of see them in the World Series, kind of bring us together, and secretly root for them so that we could kind of get back to them in the World Series. I'll throw it back to Sal real quick. Sal, as a Mets fan, would you be willing to take a Yankee fan to root for you? Would you want that? Or would you think that's
A no-no, Ray.
All right, I'll let BT answer first, Ray, and thank you for the call.
Yeah, good questions here. Listen, there's a lot of rules pertaining to fandom. I usually don't hand them out. You know, do what you want to do. Do what you got to do. I've said for a million times, and I've said a million more for those who haven't heard it, I don't hate the Mets only because my dad's an old Dodger fan, blah, blah, blah. You've heard it a lot, so let's give you that background if you didn't. I don't hate the Mets, but I also never hated the Mets because they were never a threat. The Soto stuff changes it a little bit, for sure, but not even enough for me. I really don't jump into that stuff. Listen, if this is not what I would do, if you want to keep it about New York, if the Mets are playing the Tigers, the Twins, the Rays, the Red Sox in the World Series, and you want to root for the Mets, I mean, I'm not going to throw you in fan jail. But I would say you got to thread that needle well. Like, if you're rocking a Mets hat, then you're no longer a Yankee fan. It's one thing to send you to your buddy who's a Mets fan, hey, congrats, good luck, go get him, go get your World Series first one in 40-something, by the way.
Right.
And rub that in a little bit, let them know it's been a minute. And if they do happen to win, you could express joy for them. But cheering and latching on, again, I don't really give out rules. That's the one rule that's pretty unwavering. You can't hop in. Otherwise, you know, you're not a Yankee fan.
For Yankee fans, I would respect it if you rooted for the Mets, wanting to see the Mets in the World Series so you could beat them head-to-head, whatever it may be, or just, you know, and I also welcome it. If you want to root for the Mets, you know, I understand it because they do have one of your favorite players. Juan Soto is right field with the Mets right now, and I can see how the Yankee fans who fell in love with him a year ago want to still root for their guy, Juan Soto. So I'm all for it. As a Mets fan, I'm not going to sit here and say, no, Yankee fans can't jump on the bandwagon. Jump on the bandwagon. The more the merrier. The Mets got the premier talent in the offseason with Juan Soto. The Mets were a team that is building their way up.
Mm-hmm.
The underdog, you know, it's not the evil empire. Like, you want to root for a little bit of an underdog that's now working their way up to get to that level. I'm all for it. I welcome it. Come on, Yankee fans, hop in.
Is Juan going to make the All-Star game this year? It's not even going to be an All-Star.
Maybe not.
Let me just say that out loud once more. Juan Soto, for all the stuff that we were hit with by Met fans, is not going to be an All-Star this season.
Would you
let that one sink in?
Aaron Judge will be an All-Star.
He will be. And he will be the MVP as well.
Yes.
Again.
Yes, he will. Will he show up in October? That is the question. What would you rather have, the MVP and the All-Star, or Sotober?
I'd rather have both. I'd rather have, you know.
You didn't have both last year.
You know, I'd rather have both, meaning both of those hitters, but I'd rather have the MVP and a guy who actually shows up and does damage in October as well.
Last year you had both those guys, the MVP, All-Stars galore, and a World Series berth. And now, maybe just an All-Star or two, maybe just an MVP. I don't know about the postseason prowess.
I like this Yankees team. You know I do.
Yeah.
I like them.
I like them, too.
They're fun.
I like them, too.
They're good.
I like the Yankees. I like them a lot better without Juan Soto. I love them.
A little more financial solvency without that albatross of a 15-year deal hanging around our neck. Yankees got some wiggle room next couple of years. We'll go out, you know, we'll steal somebody that's better and younger.
Max Fried. I like him, too.
7 wins.
How do you do against the Dodgers? With a big lead. Oh, right.
You can play that volley all day.
Jeff is calling from Oceanside. What's up, Jeff?
Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
Good morning, guys. A little tired from watching that game last night, but I'm doing okay.
There you go.
So my biggest issue with the Mets is, and it's hard to have an issue, guys. I mean, the best record in the National League, second best record in baseball, right? So talk about nitpicking. This is the epitome of that. But hitting-wise, yeah, they probably sound the bat, but the thing that kind of gives me a little agita, so to speak, is their hitters.
Agita.
Yeah. Right. Agita. That's a real word.
Said agita. But anyway, go ahead.
What gets me going is they're very streaky. Like even Beatty, who, you know, came up and was great, and, you know, on the second up, then he was like 0 for his last 11. I mean, that's a whole series without getting a hit. And I love Lindor. And talk about being an All-Star. Who cares? He's never been into the All-Star game, but yet he was almost MVP of the league last year. So I could care less if he'd make the All-Star game.
Well, he deserves it. He deserves it, though, this year. He's actually deserved the last couple of years.
Oh, he's definitely gone.
So it'll be nice to have him.
But yeah. BT was making the point and laughing at us that Soto's not going to make the All-Star game.
But Jeff, you got at least there's something humorous in that from a Yankee perspective, that the guy in year one is not even going to be an All-Star. Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to hit 3 home runs in a World Series game or an elite championship or a divisional matchup. I get that. But for me, the symbolism is interesting. Like, that is something that I will at least hang my hat on. Like, 15 years, a gazillion dollars, all the smack talk, all the tweets, all the text, all the needles, all the calls, all the takes, all the videos. Not even an All-Star year one.
We don't know that, though.
Well, you better get going, dude. He's running out of time.
I will tell you. I get it. I will tell you that it doesn't really... It's a mild nuisance. Like, it's a little annoying that he wouldn't be an All-Star, specifically because Yankee fans like yourself can talk smack and blah, blah, blah. And more importantly, maybe because I want to see the new toy unleashed on the world, right, on the national stage.
Yeah, sure.
But, so if he doesn't make it, that would bother me a little bit. Not a big deal. But I still think there's a chance. I mean, maybe he gets the fan vote. Maybe Met fans go out there in droves and stuff the ballot for their...
How weak would that be? Let's carry him across the... He's hitting 239 with an OPS of 801. Let's carry him across the... And just let's flood the votes.
Vote Soto.
Is that where you're... Vote Soto?
Yeah, vote Soto. Why not?
Now we're begging for All-Star vote? Dude, you got to be bigger than that. Come on.
You're the bag.
You can't be begging.
I'll fill out my ballot.
Vote Soto. That's one.
Yeah.
I'm sure I won't be alone.
Come on.
When does the voting end? I'm going to look that up during the break here. I'm just curious, like, because, listen, if it gets hot the next 3 weeks, who knows? But, I mean, right now, and I do think that the Met fan will flood the ballot. I don't even know how you voted. Is it all digital? It's got to be all digital.
I don't even know either.
It's got to be, right?
I used to love the ballots at the game.
Me too. I used to vote for every Yankee. I'm like, yeah, Steve Sachs, Alvaro Espinosa, Mike Blowers, Bob Garrett. Did Matt Knows. Check.
Get the Mets fans out there.
Yeah, but they never made it.
Yeah. Okay. But the Mets are getting 40,000 a night at Citi Field. Yeah. Fans are excited.
Yeah.
Now stuff the ballot. Yeah. Get Soto in there.
You better. Otherwise, he ain't going.
And he also could go on a heater over the course of the next month
so. He could.
Maybe work his way in. All right.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.